Welcome back to Listen in Wonder. In Season 1, we explored the many ways God speaks to us through whispers, scripture, prayer, and unexpected moments that remind us He's near. This season, we're turning our attention to a theme that touches every one of us at some point in life, God's presence in our suffering. Suffering is never easy, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. But in the middle of pain and questions, we believe God's presence surrounds us, holds us, and even transforms us. This season, we'll listen to real stories from women who've walked through seasons of suffering. We'll ask them, what was helpful, what wasn't? How did God meet them in their pain? And how did community play a role in reminding them they weren't alone? Our hope is that these conversations will meet you right where you are, offering comfort, courage, and confidence, no matter the circumstances. You are surrounded by wonder.
Welcome back to Listen in Wonder. It's Wonder Wednesday, my favorite day of the week right now, because I get to bring guests to our podcast to share their story and to really just sit in the details. I love details, but as we share details, we get to unpack God's goodness and we get to hear all the ways that God is holding us, the way that He's writing our stories, the way that He created us and He knew our days before we knew them. He knew what we would need, and He knew the gifts that He had in us and the work that He has for us to do. So we love getting to share stories with you on Wednesdays, and this season in particular, sharing stories where guests can say, God is good, and He has been with me on really hard days. Our guests are testifying to God's goodness, that He is present and surrounding us. So I'm excited to introduce to you a friend of mine. She became a friend of mine really quickly last spring because she shared her story in our Navigating Motherhood group at the North Richland Hills campus, and she was really brave to do so because she's a seventh grader. You heard that right. She is a seventh grader, and her name is Annie Henderson. So welcome, Annie. We're glad you're here today. I want to ask you, give our listeners a little bit of a snapshot of who you are, and maybe you want to tell us a little bit about your family.
So, hi, I'm Annie. I'm in seventh grade, and I'm 12 years old, and I have five people in my family. I have two older brothers, and just an amazing mom and dad. They're so great.
I mean, mom's sitting right here, so you kind of have to say that, but I can second that. They are pretty amazing. And would you say today are your brothers amazing?
I don't know.
Were they yesterday amazing?
Sure.
Maybe they're going to be amazing tomorrow. I don't know. Life with brothers can be a whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you want us to tell us about you?
Some of my hobbies, I really love theater and singing and dancing, and I'm doing volleyball right now, and that's a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Okay. So we haven't talked about this. Favorite Broadway show?
Ooh, that's really hard. But I would say maybe Wicked.
Wicked. I know. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I have listened to that album in my car. It's crazy how many times.
Tell me about it. Me too.
Love all of that about you. Well, Annie, when you came and talked to our motherhood group, it was because you have a real story to tell about God's presence in your suffering. So I think we're going back to third grade. Unless there's anything else you want to tell us in between. But yeah, will you tell our listeners a little bit about what happened to you in third grade?
Yeah, so it was at a summer day camp. It was the summer after third grade. Yes, the summer after third grade. And I really loved that summer camp. It was called Camp Thurman, and it was my second time being there. And they had a bit of a bee problem. And I had a traumatic incident when I was just eating some snacks. Then a bee came and flew up my nose and stung me in the nose. And it was just like pure chaos.
Okay. When you told this story in Navigating Motherhood, what I was envisioning, and you can correct me if I'm not accurately describing this, but a bee goes up your nose, stings you, And in the chaos, do you even know if the bee has like come out of your nose?
No, actually. So I was like, it was so chaotic. And I was like,
and it hurt.
Running to the nurse. It hurt really bad. And I was running to the nurse and I never felt it fly out.
And your mom's not there.
I saw it fly out. And then, yeah, I probably did while I was just running. Mm-hmm. But I just like, couldn't like think. I probably wasn't like paying attention because of all the adrenaline rushing. But mm-hmm. yeah, it was just so chaotic because everybody was panicking and like it was making me panic more. And,
okay,
like,
I'm not going to ask you who they were, but the adults were panicking too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's part of the story. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So they take you to the nurse, and then what happens?
So I'm just like freaking out and I'm really scared and I'm just crying because I'm like so terrified because I never had like thought about like bees being scary before. Right. And
well, because what do we say? I mean, I said this to my kids all the time. Don't bother it and it won't bother you.
That's exactly what my mom said the day before. And I was like, okay, mom, I trust you. And then the next day.
As if. Those of us that are moms can control the bees. But no, I know, like, that's what we do. We want our kids to, you know, be strong and not be worriers and, you know, all the things. And so even the things that out of our hearts that we want to be helpful and we say out of love and care can sometimes, like, not be the experience that you had.
And it was just, like, such a new experience for me because before that I was just, like, I just really didn't have a care in the world. And like, I was never like scared about anything. And I never had like a scary experience before that.
Yeah, because you told me I love being outside.
Mm-hmm. I really did. That was like my favorite thing.
And you loved going to camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just changed the way my brain worked. Mm. And like, suddenly those things, like, I couldn't do anymore because I developed like a pretty much overnight phobia of bees and wasps, and it was just so like different.
Okay, so can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Did you go home from camp that night? Like, was this an overnight camp or a day camp?
It was a day camp.
Okay, so you probably didn't go back to camp the next day.
I didn't.
Yeah. And then you're saying pretty immediately you were afraid to go outside.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty much overnight, and I just like, I really couldn't do like the things that like were my favorite things before, like going outside or going to camp. I really couldn't like.
What if a friend invited you to come over and swim?
I do have a memory of like coming to my friend's birthday party and like while they all went outside and I had to stay inside because it was just like too like traumatic for me and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And like it literally went from like smashing spiders for my older brothers when they were like scared to like not being able to go to the mailbox that was just like down our driveway.
Yeah.
And it was just so scary for me. And the scariest thing was that I started having panic attacks and they were just awful. And I started getting really terrified of having panic attacks. And I really, really got scared of like going outside and I couldn't do recess at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't enjoy things that I used to.
So you're starting a new grade. You're going into fourth grade. And when your class goes outside for recess, you don't go.
No, I couldn't. I had to stay inside in the office. And it was like really upsetting for me because like I wanted more than anything to, but like I just really couldn't.
So how long was that season for you of trying to navigate or trying to manage, like, you know, it's almost like you're walking on eggshells, right? Of like not trying to set this off, but then you feel like you're missing out on what your friends are doing. How long was that season?
I think 2 years.
Oh, wow.
I think.
Okay. So most of fourth grade, most of fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And okay. So if you're willing to share with us what were some of the feelings that you had when you're sitting inside wanting to be outside, knowing your friends are out there, but you're inside? What did that feel like?
I just felt like really, one of the things was just upset because I really, really wanted to, and I couldn't get myself to, and I was just obviously really scared. Mm-hmm. And like, I was kind of like almost like angry at myself and just like not being able to do it. And like just my brain just not being able to like convince myself that it's okay.
Yeah.
And I just like longing to be outside, but I mm-hmm. couldn't, and to do things that I really wanted to. It was just so hard.
It's frustrating, right? To kind of like want something different and think, okay, well, maybe I'm going to will myself tomorrow for this to be different, but then tomorrow's not different. And that's mm-hmm. kind of what I hear you saying, like that you really wanted something to be different, mm-hmm. but then each day it wasn't different.
Mm-hmm.
That fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what, I know that today Annie goes outside. So what changed?
Well, we tried kind of everything. We
yeah, because you have those amazing parents.
Yeah. And my mom kind of tried everything. We did lots of therapy, diet changes. Mm-hmm. It was not fun. I can tell you that. It was really, really not fun. Mm-hmm. And we went to this camp in Florida.
Okay.
It's called Fear Facers, and my mom was like researching it, and so we decided to go. So me and my mom took a week trip to Florida, and we flew out there, and we did that. And I gotta say, that was incredibly helpful. It's
okay. I know it's helpful, mm-hmm. but like, were you afraid to go?
I was really, really scared to go because yeah. at Fear Facers, they make you face your fears. The thing they say is they don't make you do anything, mm-hmm. but they encourage you to, and they like push you to. So I went outside and I like sat there and ate my lunch outside with all the bees, and there was really tall grass out there, and all the bees and wasps were flying. And at the end, I still now can't believe I did this at the time, but they somehow convinced me.
So they encouraged you.
Yeah, it encouraged me. They blindfolded me. And they took me outside, and they took me into the field with bees and wasps flying around, and they encouraged me to crawl, like, on my hands and knees through the field, and, like, I could, like, hear the bees and wasps, and they played a bees and wasps noise, like, on their phone. It was, like, one of the most terrifying things ever, and I remember just being, like, the most scared I've ever been, but after, I felt like I actually did that. Like, what? How did I do that? And, like, I, like, even held, like, a dead wasp. And I was, like, it was, like, it was so, so scary. But it was also, like, incredible to me that I, can, like, I realized, like, I could do that. And I can, like,
so that was
I
the
can
summer
face
after
my fear. Yeah.
Fifth grade? Maybe?
Fourth grade.
Oh, after fourth grade.
Yes.
Okay, summer after fourth grade. Okay.
And it just, like, that kind of started something where I was like, wow, I really can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's just been smooth days since Fear Facers.
I wish. No.
So tell us, because I know your story a little bit, but
well,
like,
after the Bees and Wasps incident, it was still like pretty heavy and I was still really scared, but it was getting better. And like the things we helped, we were getting like really good at it. Mm-hmm. And then in fifth grade, I started having intrusive thoughts. Okay. And so,
did you know what those were?
No, I didn't.
Do you mind describing what that, like, maybe like what mm-hmm. that was like?
So to explain what like intrusive thoughts are. So intrusive thoughts, it's where like you get a thought and like it comes in and it's like a really negative thought. And so comparing it to someone who doesn't have intrusive thoughts. So if you don't have intrusive thoughts and like a negative or like self-doubt comes, there's like a trash can in your brain and you can throw that thought away and it just doesn't come back. And like, that's like, oh, you can interrupt it with positive thoughts and they're not just negative thoughts. Those are very different. But like, if you have intrusive thoughts, there's no trash can in your brain and you can't throw them away and you can't stop thinking about them and they like really like press into you and like you can't throw them away and you can't get rid of them and like you can't replace them with like positive thoughts. And it looks like it looked like I was okay, because like I was like a really, really like happy person. I am a really happy person.
And you're going outside again. Yeah. And you're going to, you know, you're going to do the daily things, some of the things that you hadn't done in a while. Yeah.
And it looks like I'm okay, but inside it's like really, actually really hard to like do what I'm doing and be with them, but they can't tell because I'm just like, you know, kind of hiding it.
Yeah.
And so the intrusive thoughts, like once we figured out what those were, it was really, really hard. And that turned out to be the start of OCD.
Okay. Okay.
And that was just like a really hard experience for me. And it was like different than anything I'd ever like thought or like felt in my mind. And the intrusive thoughts were even worse than the phobia, because I could like get a break from the phobia. I could go inside and like take a break. The intrusive thoughts could literally find me anywhere. And like,
oh, Annie, I just couldn't do anything about it. I have not heard you voice it like that, quite like that. Like what you just said, the intrusive thoughts were worse than the phobia. Like I just am pausing there for a second, because that's a huge statement.
Yeah.
It's a huge statement.
And having OCD was a really, really, really huge change. And it was like, it was so hard to live through that as a fifth grader. Like, I was in fifth grade. Like, I didn't know what to expect. And it made me like, made everyday things like really hard. And I couldn't enjoy them. And I couldn't like get my brain to enjoy them. And I didn't know what to expect when I got thoughts that made me anxious. And that anxiety was really hard. And I was like, I was just always happy before, and like I didn't have a care in the world, and until ever all of this started. And it was,
did your parents notice, or did you have a moment where you were like, I've got to tell somebody that this is happening? Like how is this discovered and revealed?
When I started to notice it, I told my mom, and she started like researching it, because she's a health coach, and that was she, that's what she does. So she started like researching it, and she started like looking at all these things, and a couple of people were like, so I'm listening to all these things. Is it OCD? And she's like, no, it's not OCD. It can't be OCD. And they're like, but is it OCD? And she's like, well, so that's how we figured out. And it was just like the most like incredibly hard thing I'd ever done in my life, and like I'd ever lived through in my life. And like,
So what I hear you saying is you've been through some really tough years, and we are grateful for answers and grateful for wonderful parents and a family that like has been a safe place for you. But Annie, you know, one of the things that I think is so important in this whole conversation is that you can testify that you've been surrounded this whole time. You've been surrounded by the Lord. You've been surrounded by family, surrounded by friends. So what has been helpful to you? Like maybe it's family, or maybe it's somebody at church. What are some of the things?
Sorry.
No, you're fine. You go, girl. We're going there. Like, what has been helpful to you on this journey? Because I really think the Lord wants us to be better at walking alongside of people, and we can learn a lot from your story. And so what are some of the things that were helpful to you?
So there were a lot of things that were helpful to me. And some of the things were, one main thing that I could like really see through that was that knowing that I had that promise of eternal life, like no matter what happened, no matter how hard it was, that I would like always have that promise, and like he would like never give that up on us. And it's like, no matter how hard it is right now, it's gonna be like better than better. It's gonna be like incredible,
better than better,
and amazing. And like you can just like look to that hope in all of this. And another thing is just like having parents that have a relationship with Christ, that they've been able to help me. And like, just like knowing that they have that same promise and that my brothers have that same promise and like my friends have that same promise, that we all have that promise from Christ, that's just so amazing. And like seeing these truths that God gave me when I was like in time of like hard and that he still gives me now, it's just like incredibly helpful.
How does he give those to you?
He sometimes when just people are talking and like I hear things they say, like it just kind of like sticks with me. And like a couple things were like somebody said to me that like God's got your back, and like they were just like praying for me and they didn't like know that that would like stick with me like until now. And it's just like a really, really great promise from him that he's never going to let you go and he's never going to like stop protecting you. And
it's like all these things that you grew up in church learning about as a little girl, growing up in a Christian family, that they're being poured into you. And then somebody tells you something that is in alignment with that. And you know, like, I can find that in God's word. So I know it. I know it to be true. But it is really amazing to me that what I want people to hear is that the Lord used somebody to remind you what was true. But then you knew it in your heart and it was in alignment with that. And and sometimes I think we have to know all the answers, or we have to fix it, or we have to do something like grandiose, right? Like to make it better. And just the power of a true statement from God's word. So to know his word and then to speak it in encouragement, even if we don't have the answer, how helpful that was to you is beautiful.
And one more thing was just like, this was like a really incredible promise that I know I've definitely like heard it before, but I never actually like thought about it. Was like, he has always been there. Like, from like the literal start, and like he's been there for everybody. And just because like I started having hard things, he's not like, okay, I'll start caring about you now, like I'll start like being there for you now, because you really need it. I needed it always, and I am always gonna need it, like forever and ever. And he just was always there, and he never is gonna stop being there. And he's not gonna be there more or less in my life.
Oh, I love that, Annie. I love that. Well, I'm wondering if there's something that you can share with us that wasn't helpful to you. I know she's smiling. Y'all can't see her, but she's smiling. It's the awkward heart question of the day. No, I'm kidding. What wasn't helpful?
So first of all, mostly anything that my mom looked up on the internet.
Was not helpful.
Call them internet remedies.
Okay, but I love it.
No, I don't.
You heard it from Annie first. Do not go to
I'm
the
sorry,
internet.
Mom, but they didn't help at all.
No, I know. We're teasing a little bit, but that's
one of the things. And another was people telling like me what like I can do, and like, oh, you just need to pray more, you just need to like have like positive thoughts. But what I really need is like people telling me what God can do.
Amen.
And what God can do for me, and like not what I can do. And like I feel like that was like
sometimes
a problem.
If we get fixated on what we can do, that just becomes like behavior modification, or like you know, it's like we're willing ourselves, like we're taking God out of the equation. If it's like, well, I just need to pray more, I need to read scripture more, you know, it's putting the focus on us instead of on who God is. So I can see that.
And like mainly just things that were like, we're not pointing to God, because like whenever somebody says something that like really pointed to God and was a truth, that goes on like the helpful list. But anything that told me what I can do, or what I can like fix, just was never helpful. So
I'm so thankful that you were willing to share those things with us, because you said it a few minutes ago, he's always been there, and he's surrounding us. And so can our first thought be, he's right here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, have I missed anything that you wanted to say about what was helpful or what wasn't helpful?
I don't think so.
Okay. Man, the goodness of you being here today and sharing this is so wonderful. Okay, so Annie, you have been through some really hard seasons, and you've also seen God work in your life. And I know that you know both of those things are going to continue to happen in your life, that you're going to have some really good days. You'll have good seasons, and then you'll also have hard days and hard seasons, but you're anchored in who God is and that he's present with you. So what are some of your go-to, like when things are hard or when one of those thoughts tries to, you know, work its way in, what happens in your mind and in your heart?
Usually one of the main things to do is I like turn to my Bible, because there is just like the most amazing,
amazing,
the most amazing truth that he can give you there.
And are you like, physical Bible or digital Bible?
Physical. Okay. I don't have a phone.
Oh, that makes sense to me. But hey, I'm going to encourage you to always have a physical Bible and to write in it and turn the pages and hold it. But yeah, so what are some of the places that you like to go to?
My absolute favorite verse, like in all of this, and it's like becoming more and more true in my life, it's just like the one I always turn to, is Psalm 23, just that chapter. It's like the most beautiful truth, and it's just like so comforting to me, and it gives me like an overwhelming sense of peace. And it's just like so special to me, because like I can know, like, no matter like when earthly things seem important and like I'm like struggling with earthly things here, I know that I don't have to struggle with that, because like I only have to worry about godly things, and like I never have like problems with those, and like I can just always like turn to that peace of God, and it's just like, it's just so amazing to me, and I really, really love that scripture.
Yeah. Have you memorized it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, put a pin in that for a second. It's an incredible one to have memorized, isn't it? Yeah. And it's only like six verses. Is that what it is? Six verses. Six. So we need to encourage. We need to encourage. We're going to like put the weight on the word encourage here. Encourage all of our listeners to memorize Psalms 23. I have a special way I think we're going to close. But I want you to tell our listeners what is written in big letters on your little note card there and why it is written there. I mean, where it came from.
So I wrote on the bottom of my paper, I have my notes, and I wrote, you go, girl, and like, it's from like, you go do it, girl, and what that is from is I was praying about whether or not I should do this, and I was just listening to God, and I was like, okay, God, give me an answer, like, should I do it, or is this not the right time, or should I do a different opportunity, or should I wait? And he just said to me in that moment, he was like, you go do it, girl. And I was like, yes, sir. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And so that's just been like my motivation throughout this. God's just like, you go do it.
You go do it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's incredible that you, number one, that you would ask the Lord and that you would listen before making a decision whether to share your story on the podcast. And then number two, that you are obedient to what he says. And that's who we know him to be, that he wants us to go to him with the things that are on our heart, the things that concern us, the opportunities that are in front of us. And just you are going to be a really great encouragement to a lot of people of all ages, to listen to his voice and then to do what it says. And when we do that, we experience that we really are surrounded by him. I flipped over in my Bible to Psalms 23 because I was going to have you read it as a closing, which I will still give it to you unless you want to recite it from.
I kind of have a jumbled mix of versions from my
recitation. If you will, I think it would be just wonderful for you to close by reading Psalms 23, and we will check in with all of our listeners next week. So you go, girl.
Okay, so Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever."
Thank you, Annie.